If you have your Bibles, please take them to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And if you have any questions, what I'll get you to do is just simply write on the page, whatever page number it is, whatever point we're up to, the question right next to it. And so that way later on, if you have any questions regarding something mentioned or you need some clarification, you can ask that later on, after the service or during the week, any time that you feel that you want to ask a question in regards to the Constitution. In Acts chapter 1, beginning from verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. And so that continues to go on in appointing another one to take the place of Judas Iscariot also. But they continued with one accord in prayer. And they were there meeting in the upper room. And you can say, well, that was coming to the church being official, the Holy Spirit coming down and falling upon him in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that was the beginning to the church and its purpose being a witness to the community, to the regions beyond, and making a difference for the cause of Christ. And so we see, let's begin here in just page number 3, by God's grace, or by the grace of God, we will be diligent to strive to walk worthy of the vocation with we are called, with all loneliness and meekness, with all long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We adopt this constitution as a declaration of our convictions, so that all things may be done decently and in order, in accordance with the accepted tenets, which is the beliefs of other churches of like precious faith, so that we may carry out the Lord's work decently and in order, being above reproach for the glory of God. The purpose for the Constitution is the governing rules are to provide the church members with an understandable structure of the church, order and administration. And so the name of the church, of course, as you know it, the congregation of the believers as an incorporation association, shall be known as Grace Bible Baptist Church. In these rules, which is called the church, and so instead of an incorporation, we say this is the church. Okay, the objects for which the church is established are these: the exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to edify the believers, and to evangelize the unsaved, to equip Christians to minister in service, and also to establish and maintain believers through Sunday school, Christian education, and a manner of consistent with the Holy Scriptures. Okay, page 4, the church government, and again, this was already listed in the statement of faith. So we'll go down to number 6 there, the power of the church as a corporate body. The power of the church as a corporate body. The church has, in the exercise of its affairs, all the authority of an individual. The church may, amongst other things, exercise its authority in entering into contracts, obtain, hold, deal with organized property, make changes for services, facilities, and its supplies, and to carry out other actions necessary, convenient to be done in running its affairs. Church membership again was mentioned. Who can be a member? We know that a saved person can be a member that holds a good testimony, and the person that's been baptized biblically, and the pattern we see in the book of Acts, the early church, we pattern after that, a biblical baptism picturing the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then that person would make a request to be part of the body of Christ working together. And a person that holds on to the same beliefs of the statement of faith, in which we were discussing a few weeks ago, that will stand on these truths and will be in one accord regarding the statement of faith. We did speak about it can be by letter of transfer. That would be taking place soon in December and January. And not only that, we've had some interest from other people that God perhaps is calling them to help us in Newcastle and sow some seeds. So I'm not going to make anything official yet, but they believe that Newcastle keeps popping up. I had two people at the MBF come up to me and say, I think the Lord wants me to come up and help you reach people over there. I said, well, you need to be sure 100%. You need to go before the Lord. Right now, you're just still, they haven't been baptized yet. They're still going through discipleship, but they're just wanting to help and wanting to just be a part of the work, and they see the need. And I just said, you just continue to grow in your church, continue to do the things that Lord's wanting you to do now, and in the future, see the Lord, which if the Lord keeps that burden on your heart, and then we can discuss these things. And anyway, it's by letter of transfer from another church, or by restoration. We thought if someone was disciplined at church and they want to be restored back to membership, they can. And we also see that they can be restored even from termination, which is if you are a member of a church and for some whatever reason you haven't been attending church for 3 months consistently, then you assume that you're not part of the church anymore. And then, though, if you express your interest to come back, and then you say, this is what's taken place, and so you're able to come back on the terms that you are, again, coming to church consistently and wanting to be a part of the church, reaching out to the community. And this is how we see the body is, amen? The body is, as Jesus mentioned, him being the head, functions as a body. Can the eye say to the hand, I don't need you? Of course not. We need one another. We function as a body. It's very hard to function as a body if the person's not consistently in the church, working together for a cause. And then we spoke about the termination of a membership, either by death or letter of transfer, transferring someone else like Faith, given a good reference, if they're moving churches, or again, non-attendance, if they decide for whatever reason they're not coming to church for 3 months straight, we don't hear about them, and I guess they can't, you know, just pop out of the blue and start voting, for example, about some things that they've really don't know what's going on or taking place in the church. And again, church discipline, we went through that in last session. Okay, then three on page six, solutions for internal disputes, and we've already again discussed those things of how to deal with things in the church, and that's looking at Matthew chapter 18. And then we look at page 7, the offices. Once again, we've discussed this in the last session, but we'll go down to number 1 there, the pastor, letter D. Can you see that there? His terms of service and termination. We really didn't speak in depth regarding that, so we'll touch on that. The relationship between the pastor and the church shall be a permanent one until dissolved, either by death, in the event of a death, or by resignation. So not only by death, but by resignation, having given 3 months' notice. And then on page 8, by dismissal, okay, because of the failure to perform his duties or failure to live a godly life, to live in any way that is not becoming for a Christian pastor, to live contrary to the Scripture's qualification for a pastor, failure to hold to the doctrinal statement of this church. Okay, so and then, of course, the deacons at the time appointed, or those that are assisting, if there isn't any deacons, would evaluate this. And it is intended that those present will be voting at the meeting, shall be a final judge on the earth of the existence of the grounds for removal therein before specified. So if there isn't any deacons, I assume those that are in the church would make a final judgment on his moral conduct or his things regarding truth. If somehow the pastor moves away from the scriptures on a certain matter that have been discussed in the statement of faith in which we adhere to and hold on to, then the church has a right to confront that and deal with it with also the deacons at the time that which will be appointed in future that will take place. Okay, his call, the appointment of a pastor, is the responsibility of retiring pastor. And in Titus 1:5, we see the pastoral appointing. If there is an associate pastor, he shall automatically fulfill the office of a pastor. Should the church be without a pastor, then the deacon shall constitute the pulpit committee. So they'll be actually interviewing other people from elsewhere of like faith if there isn't an associate pastor to take place. And so the candidates for the pastorship shall be men of like faith with the doctrine and convictions in agreement of the statement of faith of this church. 75% majority of vote of active voting members is required for the call of the pastor at a convened extraordinary business meeting. It is intended that those present and voting as such a meeting shall be your final judges on earth of the qualification of a pastoral candidate, and the resolution shall be taken to the conclusive of this judgment. Okay, so, and then the associate pastor is appointed by the pastor. You want to turn to Titus 1:5 quickly? We'll just quickly go to Titus 1:5. Titus 1:5. The Bible says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee." And so, likewise, the assistant pastor will be appointed as the same way as the associate pastor. Now, the deacons, we did speak a little some on the deacons, but we'll just give a bit more detail. Deacons shall be elected as needed. No member shall be eligible for the office of a deacon unless he is a male. And I emphasize that. You say, why would many churches today, they have deaconesses and they have female deacons? And so let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's have a look and see what are the qualifications of a deacon. And we see there in verse 12, let the deacons be the husband of what? One wife. Okay, so we see that he's the husband of one wife. And we also see in Acts chapter 6 that they were instructed to pick out 7 men amongst the congregation to take care of the business that needed to be taken care of at the time, where there was a need. Also, we see that he has to be a member of Grace Bible Baptist Church for at least 24 months. He has a burden for souls and he's a witnessing Christian. He is considered by the pastor to have the necessary helpful attitude, submissive, supportive spirit to the pastor, and has the qualifications for the office as stated in 1 Timothy and Acts. An unmarried man having the foregoing qualification is eligible for the office of a deacon. A deacon shall be selected by the congregation, interviewed, approved, appointed by the pastor. The deacon shall hold his office for 2 years at a time and have the occasion to be re-elected as the church reviews their current circumstances. Nominations for election must be in writing and shall be in the pastor's receipt no less than 14 days before the annual meeting. No member shall nominate more names than are required to fill the vacancies. Okay, and then we see the treasurer on there on page 9, the treasurer. The treasurer shall be a member of the church and be nominated by the pastor for 1 year term and may be re-elected for the following year. He's to be in charge with the responsibility of consolidating all monies received and keeping accurate records of all transactions. And then we have the secretary. The secretary shall be a member of the church and be nominated by the pastor for a one-year term and may be re-elected for the following year. The secretary shall keep an accurate record of all the church business. It is the duty of the secretary to keep minutes of the all appointments of office bearers and members of the committee, the names of members of the committee presented at an annual meeting or the general meeting. And then we see the staff there, and that's if God wills for us in the future and that we grow when we need to have some staff. And then we see D, church general meetings. Okay, we see the annual general meeting shall be held annually. Other business meetings may be called by the pastor when needed, announced 2 weeks prior. Okay, so the mediator would be the pastor or appointed delegate at the time. No member shall carry or cause to be carried out to non-members any confidential. Okay, so things discussed. So if we discuss some things here as a church, are we not to go to a non-member and discuss the things that are mentioned in the church when we have certain meetings about certain things? And we see that the register of the members must be kept at the principal place of administration of the church and must be open for inspection free of charge by any member of the church at any reasonable hour. The register of members shall have 3 categories of membership. And that's first one is active. A member could be an active member, which means he's over 18 years old and he's been attending faithfully and he's eligible to vote. And we have an active member, which is underage, which is he is a member, but he's under 18, but he's not. He's been attending church faithfully, but he's not eligible to vote regarding certain matters. And then we see inactive, which means a member who has ceased to be an active member as a result of absence for a period of 3 months without notification and etc. No member is permitted to vote who is not in the practice of attending at least one service per week. This is to be imposed at the discretion of the pastor. And by the way, let me just say this to you. When I attended Faith Baptist Church, and I didn't know anything about different things like this, I was still new and to different church meetings. And when they said, we're going to have a meeting, church meeting, members meeting, I didn't, what's that? You know, all I did when I went to church was make a presence, I'm here, and then leave. And so I wasn't really involved in any way regarding different things that would be taking place in church. And so, but in saying that, when different things did take place to vote, I was a person that didn't vote for the first 6 months. You say, why? So I really didn't know what was going on. I didn't really know who the deacons were, or I didn't know their character. I just left it for the people that knew. And so at the same time, I just kind of kept silent, watched, observed. I did still make it in the meetings. I did want to be a part of the church, and I still did. I wanted to be in the progression of moving this forward, but in respect of voting, I didn't feel that I was in the right place at the right time to do that, in the right position, because of my being new to that church. So that probably take place with some people, and that is understandable. Voting will take place by the raising of, a quorum shall consist of 75% of the voting members of the church. And so if we don't have everyone here, someone's gone on holiday, someone's sick, can't make it, we at least need 75% of our members to be here to vote upon something. Voting will take place by the raising of hands and also by ballots. No posted ballots will be accepted regarding voting. Okay, and then amendments to the constitution and bylaws must be by 2/3 vote of eligible voting members at a business meeting, and notice must be given 2 Sundays in advance in writing. No amendments or changes can be made to the means of intention, both explicit and implied, to the doctrinal statement of this church, that statement being which was adopted of the occasion of the organization of the church, and which will be taking place soon to come. Okay. Miscellaneous, we got there on page 11. Okay, we're almost done. Another page or two, okay? Church buildings and property shall be... I'm glad that we don't have to keep doing this every Sunday, amen? Just going through this. Praise God for that. All right, church buildings and property shall be used, but it must be done. The reason why it must be done is you need to know what you believe. You need to know what you stand upon. Amen? You need to be part of a church which you are a body, and you need to know what's taking place, and you have a right to know what's taking place in the affairs of the church and the decisions being made if you are a member of the church. Jonathan Whitfield was preaching to a coal miner in England. He asked one man, "What do you believe?" And the man answered, and he says, "I believe the same as my church." And he said, "Well, what does your church believe?" He says, "The church believes the same as me." And then he goes on to say, well, seeing that he wasn't getting nowhere with the man, he said, "What is that you both believe?" And, he said, "The same thing." We believe the same. And so many Christians are like that. They just say, "I believe what the church believes." So the reason why we've been doing these different things, especially the statement throughout, going through them, so you know what you believe, and you probably already know what you believe, but at least to have a refresher and to be under that every now and then, it's good to have a refresher, amen? And so we need to know what we believe. And it's good to go through this and know what we stand upon as a church together. And so we see... page 11 or page 12. Sorry, page 11. Property. Church buildings and property shall not be used by any individual or organization except the permission of the deacons. If upon the dissolution or folding of the church, there remains any property after the payment of any debts or liabilities that shall be not pay, it shall not be paid or distributed to members of the church, but given to a non-profit Christian mission and projects as determined by the church members at or before the time of consummation. So what I'm trying to say here is, if we do, for example, later on purchase a building, and God forbid, and it won't take place, but this does, and we fold and we have this building, and so it will actually be used for the glory of God. Okay, so it will either be used for another mission work or another church that will be started elsewhere, and so that's what it means there. The liability of a member of a church to contribute towards the payment of the debt and liability of the church, or the cost, charges, expenses of winding up of the church, is zero, nil. Okay, so there's no liability on the church in any way, shape or form. If we do go down, if we have a building and we're in debt, the church is not liable for that. Okay, so just keep that in mind. As the church property and furnishing in page 12, insurance. At the moment, we're under Faith Bible Baptist Church, and we'll probably be under Faith Bible Baptist Church until the new year to come, until the next financial year, the new year, 2013. Okay, so we see all church property and furnishing shall be sufficiently insured and under the right insurance, that is. It is a big chunk of finances per year, but it's something that needs to be done and must be done. You cannot in any way, shape or form have a public meeting without being insured. And this is why we, let me say this, branch out from the home. And you say you don't believe in home church. I believe in home church. But when you have a home church, it's very much limited. And the reason why we expand and we find a place to meet together so we can cater for the community, they can come, they can hear the gospel, and we can be a blessing to them in that way. But when that takes place, you need to be insured in case something happens in the church. And then finance. The church shall be supported by the tithes and offerings of God's people. Subordinate organization shall disperse their funds through the church treasury. The financial record shall be open to any member of the church. A financial report shall be presented to the church at the annual meeting, general meeting. The financial year will be from the 1st of July to the 30th of June. And then the church shall not make a final loan or be a signatory to any promissory notes. Okay, so that's one of the ways that we don't have a loan in that way. Each check shall be by the church, shall require two authorized signatures, and then all mission support and projects shall be raised by 10% of the general giving and free will offering of the people. And so whatever comes in general giving, 10% of that will automatically go into missions, as well as other offerings designated to special mission projects that we'll take at the time. By the way, that 10% each year can go up. And that will, when we have a general meeting and if you all decide we want to give more to mission from the general fund, and that we can do that depending, and we see the finances are okay and operating here as a local church and everything's okay and we've got a little extra, we can do that. We can say, okay, we can give a little more to missions out of the general. But we'll do that as a church. Annually, we'll have a look at what's coming in and see if we can do more regarding missions or contribute to mission projects. And then the final church covenant. This covenant here says, I, for example, Charlie Haddad, have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and have been biblically baptized, desire to become a member of Grace Bible Baptist Church, to submit myself to God and to endeavor to keep the unity among my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I am in agreement with the statement of faith and church constitution, have a desire to support by God's grace the purpose, mission statement, and the four principles of Grace Bible Baptist Church, which are as follows. I'm not going to go through all these four principles, only because in the new year I'd like to go through them. But number one, it's to praise, love, and glorify God. Number two, it's to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, prepare to grow in grace. Number four, passion to love and serve others. And that's basically the covenant, commitment. We can use another word. A lot of people are afraid of that word commitment. But I really believe if you're going to be part of the local church, it does take commitment. Amen. It does take some commitment to be part of the local church. This church is, look, listen, let me say this to you. It's not the pastor's church. This church is God's church. The pastor is just a member like anyone else, playing his part and leading the people in the way of the scriptures and setting direction and vision, but it's not his church. If we can say someone wrote this, "This is my church." They said, "This is my church. Jesus being the head, it is composed of people just like me. It will be friendly if I am. It will do a great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am generous. It will bring others into its fellowship if I bring them. Seats will be filled if I fill them. It will be a church of loyalty and love, of faith and service. If I, who make it what it is, am filled with these, therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all these things I want my church to be." Many people say, "I like the church to be this way." And so the church is people. And generally, if you want it to be a certain way, then we need to start being the way which we want it to be. Amen? A lot of people want a perfect church. Well, let's start being perfect and make it a blessing, you know. Let's start being mature and start saying, "Okay, I want this church. It's my church." And it's a wonderful thing if everyone in this room said, "This is my church. Jesus is the head. I'm part of this church." And I consider myself just to be a member, just like you, just playing my part in this church. This is not Charlie's church. This is God's church. And let me just say this to you. God brought you together. God brought you together in this place to make a difference. You're not here by chance. By the way, if you're here by chance and you really believe that you're in control of your own life, you're really not going to get really anywhere, and you're not going to be in unity of the church, which God is doing. Please turn with me to Acts. Acts. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And beginning from verse 27, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name, which is Jesus Christ? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine,'" I love that, "'and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" Now I want you to go down to verse 38. "And now I say unto you," this is one of the men speaking there, he says, "Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel, this work be of men, it will" what? It will come to zero. It will come to naught. It will come to naught. But what does he go on to say? He goes on to say in verse 39, "But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily you find even to fight against God." Amen? Amen? And that's comforting. People that want to try to be decisive and cause disunity, whether it's within or without, we're going to see that when we look at the book of Nehemiah in the coming weeks. If this is a work of God, then it will go forward. If it's a work of men, then it will come to naught. And you are the church. And you're not here by accident. You're here by God's providence. If you have surrendered your will to God, you're here by His direction. You're not here by chance. I look at my life and I look in the years back and I said, I never brought myself here. God brought me here. That's what keeps me going, folks. I keep going because I look back and see where God's taken me, and I'm looking forward to see what He's going to do. And I'll tell you something, even when things look bad, I can still say, well, this is a work of God. Because God can use all things that work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. But you need to say in your heart, and I need to say to my heart, am I really taking the reins of my life? Or is this a work of God? Did God bring me here? Am I here because of God? Because I tell you, if you're here because of you, it won't last. But if you're here because God brought you here and you know it, then God can continue to work in your life and push you forward to what He wants you to be and what He wants you to do for His glory. And so I'm comforted by the fact that God brought you together And this is a work of God. As little as it is, I know that we can still fill this community, this Newcastle area, with this beautiful doctrine, by the way. And in some people's eyes, as we read this morning, they'll probably think that we're a nuisance, pestilence. But we can still turn our community upside down. I really believe that. I said to the Lord, if you tarry, I want to try to just, you may laugh at this, but by the grace of God, 10 times over, make sure that every single person at every single home got the gospel, either through a track, on the street, or knocked on the door, and they got some sort of message through a DVD, whatever it is, through the website, whatever it is, 10 times over. Maybe even more if God gives us time. And it will be wonderful just to see people come to know the Lord and to know the Lord as their Savior. But it starts with you. You are the church. You make the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And it starts with your commitment and you working together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let me just close with this. Have you ever heard about the man who became president for one day? It was long ago. President James Polk spent his last day as president on March the 3rd, 1849. And at midnight, Polk was out of the office, but his successor, General Zachary Taylor, a staunch churchgoer, refused to be sworn in on March the 4th, 1849, because it was the Lord's Day. He said going to church was a higher priority than becoming president for the United States. Wow. And he postponed his endeavor until Monday, March the 5th. So for one day, U.S. Senator David Atchison of Missouri was president pro tempore for the U.S. for one day, taking his place for one day. Can you think of anything more important than becoming president for the United States? Well, this man, Zachary Taylor, could, and it was being found in God's house with God's people. When I was reading this story, the verse that came to mind like that was Psalm 84:10. And he says, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. For one day in your court is better than 1,000. For I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Wow. Wow. And so I really believe we need to treat the things of the Lord and His house like this. Where are those days? Where are they gone? Well, don't let them go. Be the remnant. Don't make God sick. Let's endeavor to strive to be a church that is hot for God. Hot for God with the little numbers that we have. It's not about numbers. It's about faithfulness to the Word, to God, and to the gospel. I don't want to make God sick. My responsibility as a messenger, preacher of this church, is to lead the church to be hot for God. And sometimes it may take a bit of stepping on your toes, but listen, let me say this to you tonight. I don't step on anyone's toes until God stomps on my foot. And God beats me in secret with His Word and convicts me every day about the responsibility that I have and should never take it lightly. And just holding this Word in my hand is a great responsibility. I fear and tremble at the thought every time I come up. So let's be a church that's hot for God, as little as we are, being faithful to God in His Word and faithful to the gospel. Let's unify together on this Saturday come, the Constitute. This is God's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes to see what God is going to continue to do with this little church, shaking up Newcastle. We are doing it already, by the way. I've already received calls coming in. Nuisance. Pestilent. Get out of Newcastle. It's not the first one. I've received others. We cannot. Because the people that sit in this room that want to know the truth, be set free and liberated from from sin and from the snares of Satan, lies of Satan, there are more people out there waiting to hear it. Where are they? Where are the feet? Where are the beautiful feet that carry the gospel? I pray that Grace Bible Baptist Church will be that sweet-smelling savour to this community and to these people that really want to hear the gospel. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just close with an invitation, if you would, between you and the Lord.